Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts, delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
The Hard Shoulder
with the all-new MG HS plug-in hybrid. Petrol freedom plus up to 120 kilometers electric range. MG, recharge your soul.
Thanks, Eamon. And you are listening to The Hard Shoulder with me, Ciara Doherty. And as you heard in the bulletin there, the deaths of those five young friends, all under the age of 25 years of age, in a road crash in County Louth at the weekend has left communities in Louth and Monaghan absolutely devastated. The friends have been named as Chloe McGee, Alan McCluskey, Dylan Cummins, Shay Duffy and Chloe Hipson. Well, joining me now is Monaghan councillor Peter Conlon and psychologist Richard Hogan. You're both very welcome to the programme. Peter, to come to you first, it was so difficult to hear of this crash as it broke in the news late on Saturday night into Sunday morning, to hear that five people have lost their lives. But then as details emerged and photographs emerged of who these young people were, of what they were doing with their lives, of what the potential with their future was, it becomes just more and more real. And the priest speaking to Pat Kenny this morning from the area talked about just witnessing an unrelenting grief in the area.
Absolutely, yeah, Cleo. Thanks for having me on. And first of all, I want to send my condolences to each of the five families involved. We often hear of loss of words and situations like this, but it's just complete silence. People just really don't know what to say. When it comes up in conversation, it's just met with numbness and silence and disbelief. And, you may not know the individual, you'll know a family member, whether it be the father, mother, brother, sister, auntie, uncle, godmother, godfather. There's more than just five families affected. It's a whole community, a number of communities, and it's really, really hard to try and comprehend. So I can't imagine what the families are going through at the moment.
And you say these young people were of the community, living in the community, working in the community, training in the community, whether it was in the local secondary school or working in the local garage as a mechanic or training, as one of them was, to become a plumber. They were very much local people who lived in and around the area who would have been known to so many.
Absolutely. Young people that were knew what they wanted in life and were chasing it. Models in our society, like I think of young Chloe McGee, who's head girl in Inver College in 2018. That's someone you ask and the younger girls come behind her on school to, this is someone to look up to, this is someone to model yourself on, this is someone to pay attention to. And indeed, she went on to do teaching and was just become a teacher, a full-time teacher out in Dundalk. So these are leaders in our community and, people who knew what they wanted to do, as I said before, and were chasing their dreams and living life to the fullest, and to have it, on Sunday morning was just devastating.
And I know your own wife is a teacher in the area and she would have known two of the students.
She did, yeah. She was telling me about them yesterday even only and how they were the epitome of what a good students were going to be, like the Dylan and who would come to school and all he wanted to do was mechanics and agriculture and could live his life in school, not worried by pressures of exams, if you like, but just getting out doing his work and doing what he loved. And it's refreshing to see, I suppose, in a school from a different perspective. It's also maybe to be envious of by many people in life, that this young man knew what he wanted to do, was living life already, was full of life, and was chasing his dreams. And it's really bitter to wake up on Sunday morning and be presented with this news.
How are families, their peers and the wider community being supported in the aftermath of this tragedy, Councillor?
Unluckily, you know, these four guys have left school, but I know their own individual schools are trying to do what they can for students that are left behind. Indeed, some of the deceased have siblings still in school, so I know the different schools that they all went to are doing what they can in that regard. Many of the teachers knew these pupils very well and have very fond memories of them, as I said. But the communities are just Candlelit Village for Chloe this evening in Annamullen. And what you'll have here is the communities, individual communities, will come around these families and they'll try and carry them over this burden over the next few days, few weeks, few months, and indeed years to come. As I said, it's not just these five families that have been impacted, it's many, many more.
I mean, there has been a statement released from Dr. Dermot O'Callaghan, who's the president of Dundalk Institute of Technology. He's saying that the community is heartbroken to learn of the tragic news of the deaths of five young people, which occurred outside Dundalk on Saturday night. We remember Chloe Hipson, a second-year quantity surveying student who joined DKIT in September of this year from Lanarkshire in Scotland. We also remember former student Shay Duffy, who recently completed phase six of his plumbing apprenticeship with us. A book of condolences for Chloe Hipson has been set up in the college and will be available for signing outside the engineering office at the Hoey's Lane entrance. To go back, I suppose, to Saturday night, what, I suppose, and how did the emergency services respond and what challenges did they face at the scene?
Well, look, in the emergency services, you realise you could be facing anything when you get the call to the road traffic collision. I do believe that they've acted in, you know, exemplary professionally, but no doubt they were met with a difficult scene, and indeed the other occupants of vehicles who came across the scene, maybe even before the emergency service arrived, they have to also be supported because they would have met a very difficult scene. I think you can see from the reaction of experience members from Garrish Síochána and the fire services from the different interviews, that this is not something that they come across every day. It has left everyone very solemn and very, you know, thoughtful as to how precious life is. You know, I'm the father of three young girls. And they got an extra hug going to bed last night. It's not something that anyone wants to wake up and be faced with and to have happen in your local community.
Absolutely not, Councillor. It really does have a ripple effect. I know that. I want to bring in Richard Hogan now. You can hear the grief and the sadness from any of those from the area who are speaking about this awful tragedy. How do communities, Richard, typically process that very sudden loss of several young people all at once?
Oh, Ciara, I mean, I think the whole nation, I think there was a collective... I think there's collective grieving going on currently. It was incredible. I just think just that the loss of such beautiful lives. And, you know, we saw, as you said, it's just so real when you see the photographs. I think for the families and for the friends and the siblings and the close-knit friendships that they all had there, that's acute trauma, Ciara. You know, that's a sudden, dramatic and tragic loss of life. And that is that's a very difficult thing to go through there. And that's the grieving process. And the only way kind of out of that grieving process is to go kind of through it. And I suppose in my experience, Ciara, you know, I've worked with some very, very sad cases where parents lose their children. I suppose that's all, as parents, that's all our greatest worry, you know, that our children heading out on a Saturday night, going out to enjoy themselves and to revel. And after a long week's work and, you know, being productive in the community, that they lose their lives in that endeavour. Again, it brings us into what the councillor was saying there. Sometimes language fails us. We don't know how to articulate that inner, you know, that inner feeling that we all have, I think. I find that it's hard to articulate that. But in my experience, Ciara, you're saying about, you know, about communities, I suppose, trying to find some meaning in that and about how communities, and Dundalk is a very tight-knit community. I've often spoken there many times. They're very much a community that's together there, and it's about getting closer together, but holding the families, bringing them through this incredible next couple of days of their lives. And in my experience working clinically with it, it's going through that grief, and at the end of that, figuring out that Chloe and Shay and Alan, Dylan and Chloe Hibson, you know, that they would want their families to laugh again. They would want them to smile again. They would want them to remember them. But they would want their community and their friends and their siblings to smile and laugh and to find joy in their lives again. Mm-hmm. Because right now they're starting this incredible, you know, traumatic experience here and trying to work their way through that and understand it. And there's confusion and there's anger and there's frustration and there's despair and all of that. But, you know, it's about trying to find a way to honour, even though the lives were so short, 21 years and 23 years, how to celebrate that and to honour that very short life that you have with your children and your friends and your siblings, and about how to kind of celebrate that as you move on in your life. And I suppose that's the only way you come out of this.
I mean, there is no hierarchy of grief at all.
It doesn't go linearly. It's not a line, you know.
It doesn't. When you mentioned the pain of parents, I can't imagine what it is that they are going through. No parent should have to bury their child. But I do also think of their peers.
Yeah.
I think of their wider group of friends who have suddenly looked around and five are missing, five are gone. Suddenly, what impact can it have on young people, and what is the best way to support them now, Richard?
You know, Ciara, there's many, many friendship groups out there, and I've lived this myself personally, where a friend is lost in a car crash, or a friend is lost because of some incident or moment like this that tragically takes their life. But when it's so many children together, or so many young adults together in a car, and that's lost, it's about coming together, Ciara, it really is. And whether that's coming together and kind of having a party to celebrate them, but there needs to be some sort of communal expression of love, you know, that they have for their friend. I just think it's such an important thing that they come together and they try to celebrate their lives and try to find something in it that brings them together in a way that they have a shared grief, but they must try to find some sort of shared celebration of the lives that are lost as well. I think that's a very important cathartic thing for friends to go through. You know, whether that's a party, a bonfire, whatever it is, going out to the beach, whatever they used to do together as a group, but finding something that they can do together to allow them to express. Because as I said there, you know, as you understand, and as the counsellor was saying there, it's very hard to articulate what it is you want to say. And sometimes language fails us. And so just having a party, celebration, music, something there that allows you as a young adult to express your deep, you know, deep feelings about what's happened here, I think that would be cathartic.
I also often think of the first responders who arrive onto these scenes and then often within, you know, a matter of hours have to just return and move on to the next call and the next job and potentially the next tragedy. And I know they receive training, but I'm not sure any training could prepare
There's
you for
no
coming
training.
On a scene like that.
No.
What is the way to support them then?
No, there is no training here. I mean, you know, I've worked with An Garda Síochána and done a lot of, you know, help there with that, and they come across some very, very terrible scenes, and it's very, I don't think there's anyone, you know, trained enough to experience that and to move back into your family life and not to reflect and not to be maybe even haunted by it. But again, it's, I know that they have good services in place that supports members of the emergency service and supports An Garda Síochána who've experienced these, you know, really, really devastating, tragic events, and reach out to them. That's the most important thing I would say. Lean into those services, talk about what you've experienced, because it is impossible to compartmentalize that. I'm a psychotherapist and I work clinically, and you deal with very difficult stories. But even in all that training, you can't compartmentalize things that you see sometimes and what you hear. And so it's very important. That's why I have supervision. It's very important to lean into those services and to talk about what you've experienced and your feelings around it, because it brings us all here into the brevity of life, the shortness, the fickleness. It brings us into all of those kind of things about this journey of, you know, of life, that it's so short and at any moment it ends. And so it's really important that you kind of, you know, lean into those services and you talk about what's happening to you and you talk to your friends about what's happening to you. Don't keep it in. That's the worst thing you can do.
All right. Peter Conlon and Richard Hogan, thanks for joining us on The Hard Shoulder, and our thoughts and prayers go out to those families and to the wider community and all of those impacted by this really, really awful tragedy.
The Hard Shoulder
with the all-new MG HS plug-in hybrid. Petrol freedom plus up to 120 kilometres electric range. MG, recharge your soul.
is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.